The Trump administration announced a proposal last month to get rid of the U.S. Forest Service's roadless area conservation rule. It was adopted in 2001, and it protects millions of acres from logging, road building, and other development on national forest lands.
According to the Department of Agriculture, more than 95% of roadless areas are in 10 western states, but the roadless rule applies to 69,000 acres of the Shawamigan-Nicolet National Forest in northern Wisconsin.
The Forest Service says that the rule is preventing effective fire management in these areas and that it takes away and that taking it away will offer land managers more flexibility.
A 30-day public comment period on the proposal and the draft environmental impact statement is open until September 21st.
Mike Dombeck is a Wisconsin conservationist who served as U.S. Forest Service chief from 1997 to 2001 and was instrumental in putting the roadless rule in place. Mike, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Well, thank you, Kate. I'm pleased to be here.
What was the rationale for this rule at that time in 2001?
Well, Kate, it's really a long story, and I'll try to be brief. In the 1940s, we had about 100,000 miles of roads on the 193 million acres of national forest. But the war effort, World War II, required an increase in timber harvest to meet the war demands, to provide housing for soldiers returning from World War II, and to get the wood out of the forest, obviously, you'll need roads. And most of the eastern national forests were cut, and a lot of this occurred in the west, where you had steep mountainous terrains. And by the 1980s, we had over 300,000 miles of roads on the national forest system. And those roads were largely paid for by timber receipts, the funds that the sale of timber brought. And in 1989, all things changed. Most of the large old growth timber was harvested. The funding for the roads program disappeared. So it largely became a funding issue. And it also became a controversial issue because now to get more timber out, we had to go into more backcountry areas, wilder places, more rugged terrain, and also we had more low-value timber because the easy stuff was cut. Hmm. So this became the surrogate for entering backcountry, for cutting old growth, and in 1997, we came within one vote of the House of Representatives of losing 80% of the Forest Service roads budget. So initially, it's an economic issue. It's a taxpayer liability. We had $8.6 billion backlog in road maintenance, with only 13% of the national forest system roads in good condition and over 50% in bad condition. So we had this amazing problem that was a fiscal problem, that was an environmental problem, and actually a transportation system problem. Now, it's important for listeners to understand how big this road system is. 386,000 miles yeah. on 193 million acres of land. The interstate system is 46,000 miles across the entire United States. The distance to the moon is 239,000 miles. And here we have 386,000 miles of roads on 193 million acres of land. So we had, you know, controversy, budget issues, and so on. So I asked myself as chief, well, what would a private landowner do? What would a timber company do if they were faced with this tremendous liability, this tremendous cash flow issue? They'd probably stop building roads or at least evaluate the system.
But the rescission, it removes the national designation of roadless areas, but it's not like a mandate to start more timber harvesting or to start building more roads?
Well, the rescission itself does not remove the roadless areas. What it does is it removes the guarantee that the roadless values will continue to be protected. Mm-hmm. The values of clean water, the values of large undeveloped tracts of land, the few tracts of land in the United States that are remaining that have values for you know, high quality habitats, rare and endangered species, the best water quality coming off of our forested landscapes or coming off of these lands. So by repealing the rule, they're really removing the guarantee or the commitment that we're going to keep wild places wild.
We're also hearing that this is a one-size-fits-all rule that doesn't allow for flexibility in how these areas are managed. And we had a statement from the spokesperson for the Forest Service who said, quote, rescinding the rule allows managers to address local watershed, economic, and wildfire risk conditions within the same planning framework as the rest of the national forest system and allows response to changing conditions. Why not allow that flexibility at the local level?
Well, number one, the flexibility is there right now. Hmm. The one thing you cannot do in a roadless area is have a commercial timber harvest and build a permanent road. All other prior existing rights, mining claims, recreation activities are allowed in roadless areas. So this is simply not true.
Wildfire management is, you know, at the forefront of the rationale for getting rid of this rule. What is known about the frequency and severity of wildfires that happen in roadless areas?
Well, regarding fire, most of the fire starts ignitions that occur on national forests and across the U.S. are human-caused and not intentional. Sparks from equipment, automobile accidents, motorcycle accidents, heat from mufflers in real dry conditions. And most of those starts occur within a half mile of a road. So the higher density of roads you have, the higher probability of fire. In fact, if we look at the fire ignitions, we have something significantly lower ignitions in these backcountry areas than we do in more highly populated areas where we have, you know, more people and more people using the forest. And again, I want to emphasize that most of these ignitions are accidental. It's important to understand with fire that 97% of the fires are already suppressed in the United States, and the 3% that get away are extreme. So extreme that it's really unsafe to send firefighters in there. Even air suppression does not work. So this idea that we need to build roads in these areas to protect them from fire, the data, even the Forest Service's own data, just does not support this.
Wisconsin has 69,000 acres of inventoried roadless areas. How do you see the impact to the Shawamigan-Nicolet Fort National Forest if this rule is repealed?
Here in Wisconsin, the impact will actually be minor. What we're losing is we're losing the guarantee that these places will be left wild. And many of them are surrounded by wetlands. They're in research natural areas. They're in state designated natural areas or surrounding them. That's what we lose here in this state. You know, in my view, this is a very conservative policy. Number one, it doesn't cost taxpayer money. We're not spending money building a road system, then that creates a long-term liability. And number two, it keeps options open for future generations. And number three, it's good conservation, ensuring that our few last wild remaining places in the United States will be kept that way.
Mike, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Kate.
That is Mike Dombeck, a Wisconsin conservationist who served as U.S. Forest Service chief from 1997 to 2001. He was instrumental in creating the 2001 Roadless Area Conservation Rule, which halted new road building and logging in specific areas within national forests. The Trump administration is proposing getting rid of that rule to allow for more flexibility in management and development. Now for the perspective of the people who use these areas for recreation, we're joined by Aaron Habeisen, Field Operations Coordinator for States in the Upper Midwest at Backcountry Hunters and Anglers. It's a conservation organization. Aaron, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Who does your group represent in Wisconsin?
Yeah, so Backcountry Hunters and Anglers seeks to be the voice of wild public lands, waters, and wildlife across the country. And we have currently 900 or so Wisconsin registered BHA members. But whether you are a hunter or an angler, backpacker, bird watcher, paddler, berry picker, anybody who's recreating on public lands, we try and support and defend those places, protect them for all users.
In and around Wisconsin, how accessible are these roadless areas for hunters and for anglers with this rule in place for the past, you know, roughly quarter century?
Yeah, they're you know, in my experience, extremely accessible. In some of the inventoried roadless areas I go to, you know, you're still taking a vehicle to the trailhead, and then it is an option for you either to go in by foot traffic or to travel on a ATV or OHV or on a bike.
With the proposed rule, what is your organization's position on the roadless area conservation rule?
Yeah, so currently there's a comment period open until September 21st, and there are three alternatives outlined. Alternative one would be taking no action and no change to the existing roadless rule. Alternative two would have some impact. And then alternative three, my understanding is that it would be a complete rescission of the existing roadless rule. And so BHA supports alternative one, which would be no change to the existing roadless rule. The existing roadless rule is really a great middle ground. We view that as something that offers the broadest level of opportunity. So whether you are going in with a motorized vehicle, there are trails in place as long as you're staying on those trails and not creating new ones or boondocking off the existing trails. You can stay on those trails and still access a large chunk of those big swaths that he was talking to. And by removing the accessibility, I would say, of the or the possibility of more motorized access, it's going to provide a better experience for the non-motorized user.
So the group Blue Ribbon Coalition, it tries to preserve recreation on public lands, and it says the same roads that let a fire crew in are the roads that let a hunter, an older rider, or a family who cannot hike 10 miles into the backcountry reach the public land they've explored for generations before the rule. Would these roads, would the rule, rescinding the rule, make these roads more accessible, make more options available?
Potentially for those folks, but again, there's already roads in place, and with the number of roads that already exist, those folks still have an opportunity to experience that backcountry space without adding additional economic impact, extra infrastructure, and requiring extra upkeep and enforcement of new roads. We already have trouble through the U.S. Forest Service in managing what we've got. And so to add more roads is just going to be more area that unfortunately is going to go unmaintained.
Aaron, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That is Aaron Haybison, Field Operations Coordinator for States in the Upper Midwest at Backcountry Hunters and Anglers. That's a conservation organization. Earlier, we heard from Mike Dombeck, a Wisconsin conservationist who served as U.S. Forest Service Chief from 1997 to 2001. Dombeck was instrumental in creating the 2001 Roadless Rule. The decades-old federal policy halted new road building, logging, and development in millions of acres of national forest wilderness, including 69,000 acres of the Shawamigan-Nicolet National Forest in northern Wisconsin. Forest Service is gathering public comments on its proposal to end the roadless rule until September 21st.